Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Tonight, the city of Chicago is united. Everybody rooting for the White Sox. They start a series in St. Louis against the Cubs' arch rivals, the Cardinals. Baseball night in Chicago starts our coverage at 6:30. Jason and Steve have the call at 7. Our Chuck Garfine, drops by a little later to talk all things Southsiders. As for those Cubs, they might not need much help at all right now. The way they're playing, they win their fifth straight, take over sole possession of first place in the Central. Despite the hot streak, Joe Maddon makes some major changes to his lineup. We'll discuss. And the Bears' undefeated run in this offseason continues. Ryan Pace has filled some much-needed holes. So when will the Bears see success, if ever? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a really good day enjoying this gorgeous weather. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show, he is the great Hub Arkish, the architect of Pro Football Weekly, and you catch him on the Score Sports Radio 670, and he is ESPN College basketball analyst, and he broadcasts all over. He is the great Jordan Burnfield. All right, the Cubs lineup makes major changes today. Anthony Rizzo is leading off. If you take a look at that lineup, Rizzo, Bryant, Zobrist, Russell, Schwarber, Caratini, Hayward, Happ, and Hendricks. Here's Joe Maddon explaining his rationale.
I really thought that we needed something like a 20-foot python, a magician, or a breakdancer in the clubhouse. Instead, I chose to hit Rizzo leadoff. So I thought I might pick the boys up a little bit. Tough series against Milwaukee. I didn't think we were on top of our game yesterday. Wanted to give Javi and Albert a day off. Easily could have put Zobrist there, absolutely. But I thought it'd be a little bit more of a lift for the group. Plus, you know, Riz needs to get going a lot of times. In the past, I've liked to do that with some of the larger players on the team. Put them in the leadoff spot. Let them lighten up a little bit and just go play. So we'll see how it works out for today. Now, you know, saw Javi had a tough day yesterday, and it's not been nearly the same with Albert overall. And we have a day game tomorrow against a left-handed pitcher. So just try to give them a day, and I thought today would be the better day.
All right, so your guys' thoughts on some, you know, interesting tweaks.
It's Maddon being Maddon.
It is.
I don't really think much of it at all. When you got 162 of these to play with, you can do stuff like this. These are the kind of things that he likes to play with that usually work. And so, you know, we'll see. I don't see any downside to it. Should be fun.
Frankly, I wish they went with the breakdancer or the 20-foot python. I think that, I mean, Rizzo leading off is good, but those would have been great. Are you kidding?
Yeah,
I mean,
been a lot of fun.
That would have been video for weeks. So, but yeah, I mean, I think Joe likes to mix things up. I think he has a really good sense of when the team needs a little bit of a jump start. So evidently he feels like they need one now.
What's with his ever-changing hairdo? I'm follicularly challenged. I understand that. But I, every time I see him, he's got some new look with his hair. I don't get what's going on there with Joe.
He wants to know if you want to use, and I'll use it on my beard, you can use some of this stuff to darken up your gray.
Well, at this point, what's the difference? I get rid of the glare, not the gray, you know?
It is what it is. Yeah. I feel the same way. Any concerns, Jordan, about Rizzo? He's had the back issue. He was on the DL. He's hitting a buck 40, whatever. He's struggled, but we've always seen him pop out of this.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some rough Aprils in the past. I mean, there have been a couple, I think, recently in 17, I want to say, in 16, where he struggled a little bit out of the gate and then got things going. So this isn't something completely foreign for him to get out of the gate a little bit slow and then warm up. I'm not worried at all. Honestly, I mean, we have so much sample on Anthony Rizzo. He's a great player. He's going to be a great player. I doubt this continues.
Yeah, ditto. I mean, if there's two guys in that lineup, I wouldn't panic on if it was July. It's Rizzo and Bryant, you know. And I was more worried about how Bryant was going to come back from, you know, that beaning last week. And a little slow, but didn't look uncomfortable at the plate. And then the big triple last night. So, you know, Rizzo's going to be fine. And I think this is a good idea. Get him some extra at-bats. Let him feel good about leading off.
Five-game win streak, all with three runs or less scored. More impressed by the starting pitching, which has been magnificent, or the bullpen, which has been otherworldly?
Well, the bullpen's been otherworldly since day one. You know, starting pitching just coming around now. Wasn't going to panic over the starting pitching. I'd still like to see a few more outings like this from Darvish. Chatwood's on fire right now, you know, so I can't believe he's going to be like that the rest of the way. But this is what you hope for when they put this group together, and now they're coming around.
I think Hub just hit the nail on the head. The reality is the Cubs were built as a team that was going to have really good pitching depth all year. And at the beginning of the year, and baseball's weird, this kind of stuff happens. I mean, even teams that finish 30 games above 500 go through these odd stretches. We always blow it out of proportion when it's the beginning of the season because it's the only sample we have to go on. But, I mean, in all likelihood, the Cubs are going to have really good pitching because they have really good pitchers. I just think the sample size is small, and we saw some odd starts.
I'm actually more excited about the bullpen because it does appear to be for real. It's been consistent from day one. This is exactly what Theo and Jed were trying to do, and it looks like they got it right.
Yeah, I talked to John Lester on Sunday, and he said when you have 8 days between starts, the weather is not good. He goes, I'm not making excuses. I'm just giving you facts. When we pitch every fifth day, we're creatures of habit. We get into a routine, and they just got some bad breaks with the weather.
I mean, the weather was awful, and I agree. It's the players shouldn't use it as an excuse because they make a lot of money and they play a kids game and all this stuff. Nobody wants to hear it. But the truth is, I mean, when you're playing in 35-degree weather, you probably can't even feel your fingers out there. I can't imagine that it doesn't affect the players in certain ways. And I do think that the weather had something to do with the Cubs getting off to a slow start. I mean, I think when you look around baseball, there's been some kind of weird starts for teams that we expect to be better. I know that the Dodgers just lost Seager, which is a huge loss. I mean, but they've been under 500. They've played bad.
They're eight games out in the division
right.
already.
Mean, but the point is, like, are they an awful team? No, I don't think so. I think they just had a bad month. So I think in April, you know, we always try to project all these things, and baseball is the ultimate sample size sport. We have to see more of what happens before I'm ready to declare any of these teams that have struggled bad or any of these teams that have gotten off to incredible starts that good.
You know what's really fun about this? I was thinking about this morning. I don't know if this team really has an ace. I don't know if they've got a Scherzer or Clayton Kershaw or something like that. But they may have four number twos and a three. Nobody has that. That's going to be unbeatable, you know, if you've got that throughout the season. You can have one or two guys out of sync and still be getting three great starts out of every five. I think they've put this thing together. They got to stay healthy. Now, if they stay healthy, this could be their best team.
Yeah, when you mentioned Corey Seager going down, you see how quick it can change. They just lost their best player, one of the best players in the game. You look at Milwaukee, they lose Eric Thames, they lose Corey Knebel, and you're like, whoa. Closer and a first baseman, tough to come back.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that early on in a season can really derail you. I mean, I think that sometimes we see these early season games and we, you know, try to make too much analysis out of it. The one thing that you can't recover from is a major injury, usually. I mean, the Dodgers can't replace Corey Seager at shortstop. They can't. He's a great player, and without him, they're going to struggle.
Unless they trade for Machado.
Right. Well, right, which I guess they could do. I mean, you look at Milwaukee to lose Knebel, to lose Thames. Those are huge losses. If the Cubs were to lose Bryant for the season or Rizzo or somebody like that.
God forbid.
You can't recover from those things.
All right, let's move on to the NFL draft. It is now in the books, but we have Hub Arkish here, the guru of Pro Football Weekly, and I always love to hear your post-draft analysis. We won't know anything for 3 years, but as you sit today, what's your take on what the Bears did?
I think they had a really good first 2 days. Roquan Smith, clearly the best linebacker in this draft. He's the Butkus Award winner. I was a little worried about whether he was actually a great fit for what they want to do, but if Vic Fangio is okay with it, I'm okay with it. And James Daniels, I think, clearly the best center in the draft. Anthony Miller, we haven't seen a lot of this kid because of the ankle, but, I mean, there was more buzz around him than almost any player in the draft leading up to these first 2 days. I hate that they gave up the second-round pick, you know, next year, but you got to give something to get something. And that tells me that even though they're saying be patient with us, that maybe Pace and Nagy think they're a little closer than anybody realizes. I'm not as wild about day three as most are. I'm fine with the Bilal Nichols kid from Delaware. I think he's got a chance to be a good football player. Maybe Kylie Fitz can make the roster and be a situational pass rusher. They went way too high on Ibanez anyway. But at this point, you know, you're picking nits because they're not all going to make it anyway. And he may turn out to be a special teams demon who can play. So I think they had a real good weekend. I think you got to wait 2 years now and find out if they can play football.
Are they the most improved team in the National Football League?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think they're very improved. Now you got to take a step back and look at some of these other ball clubs. I mean, the Rams were already in the playoffs, made some pretty dramatic moves during the offseason. If we're talking about are they this year's favorite to go worse from first, I don't see them catching the Vikings, but of the last place teams, of the bottom feeders, they're easily the most improved.
But do you think, though, because when you look at the division is still really good. I mean, you still have Minnesota, you still have Green Bay, and Detroit's decent. So, I mean, I keep hearing all these people saying, oh, the Bears are so much better, they're so much better. They're so much better than maybe really bad, but how much better are they in a division that's really good?
Well, here's what I think's happened. Combination, free agency, the draft, even last year's draft. The Vikings may have the best roster in the NFL. I don't see a hole on that depth chart, so you're not catching them. But I think the Bears roster, obviously with the exception of Aaron Rodgers and Matt Stafford, is now comparable to the Packers and the Lions. I can find holes in those depth charts much like you can find in the Bears. The difference right now is Rodgers, Stafford, and you know, where does Trubisky fit in?
What do you expect out of Trubisky this year?
I liked what I saw last year. We can go back a year ago. I never had a problem with the pick. I had a problem with the trade because I thought it was unnecessary. My concern about the pick is we only had 13 game tapes. Well, what we saw in those 12 starts was very impressive. I mean, this kid has some real traits. I now know what Ryan Pace saw. I think he has a chance to be a very, very good quarterback. And so the next step is what you expect. And unfortunately, Jared Goff set the bar pretty high for him last year because it's not just that they're both first-round quarterbacks, you know, first two picks going into the second year with a different team. It's the addition of the offensive coach. It's the change in the coaching staff. It's the pieces around him. I think anything less than the kind of year that Goff had is going to be disappointing to some people, but I think Trubisky's capable of it.
Were you guys at all surprised to hear today the agent for Baker Mayfield said that had he not gone one to Cleveland, New England was prepared to trade up with the Giants to snatch Baker Mayfield at two? Does that make you feel any better about Baker Mayfield?
Well, I was adamant that Mayfield was the best quarterback in the draft and should have been the number one overall pick, so that doesn't surprise me at all. I would just caution everybody, you heard the agent say it. You didn't hear Bill Belichick say it. You didn't hear Robert Kraft say it. I know that, you know, Brady and Belichick are going to snipe at each other a little bit. Maybe they talked to the agent and said we'd consider it, but they clearly didn't do it, you know. So I think this story is getting blown out of proportion a little bit by some folks.
Back to the Bears draft, they also drafted another receiver at the back end, also out of Georgia. Does this, all these receivers they brought in, make you believe that we don't really think Kevin White is worth anything, the Bears saying that?
No, I mean, you're talking about a seventh-round pick. You know, clearly you brought Allen Robinson in to be a number one.
Taylor Gabriel.
You
don't
know, yeah, but Gabriel's a three. You know, you let Cam Meredith get away, so you've really only got two wide receivers if you think about it. They got to add bodies. I was actually looking at it the other way. I've been surprised. The couple times I've talked to both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace this offseason, the first guy they bring up is Kevin White. I think they're excited about the possibility that there's still a chance. Javon Wims and Kevin White are the same player. And so Javon Wims was either drafted in the seventh round for the practice squad, or in the event that White can't make it, now you've got another option. But I don't think that they've written off Kevin White.
I mean, how could they really operate under the assumption that they're going to get anything from Kevin White at this point? I mean, it's not an indictment of them at this point. It is what it is. The guy hasn't played in 3 years. You can't count on him being anything.
Can't.
So if he plays at all and is decent at all, I think it's
gravy.
A bonus, right?
You know, you still don't have a full depth chart without Kevin White, even with the draft picks and everything else, because at the end of the day, Josh Bellamy's a special teamer.
And you do not pick up his fifth-year option tomorrow, correct?
Oh, absolutely not. There's no reason to. I mean, if he sets it on fire and he gets expensive, good. You got the year out of him, then you decide what to do. But that fifth-year option is basically at the rate of at least a number two, and he hasn't proven he can be that yet.
All right. Thank God for good citizens like Salvador Perez, or else people like Tim Anderson would just be running around town breaking baseball's unwritten rule book whenever they'd like. That, plus the White Sox open a series with the Deadbirds. They'll have an eye on Charlotte. Our Chuck here to talk Southsiders next on STL.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world. Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
We have White Sox baseball tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. They could do the unthinkable. Help out the Cubs. They open a series against the Cardinals at Busch Stadium. Jason and Stoney have the call at 7. Our Chuck Garfine has the postgame show, and he joins us on Sports Talk Live. Hello, our Chuck.
Hi, we are here to help you guys out. Whatever you need. You need a win? You need two? We're here for you.
Get it done.
We'll get it done.
All right, I was talking to the great Ozzie Guillen in the green room.
Yes.
And I was asking him about what Tim Anderson did when he was very emphatic and excited after hitting a home run. And Sal Perez from the Royals called him out and said, you do that again, you're getting one right in the ribs. Ozzy said, had that been my player, I would have handled it. That's inappropriate what he did. What do you think?
It's not a good look, first off, when you are a team that is, at the time, by 11 games under 500. If you just take a, you know, a 50-mile-away view of that. At the same time, he was excited. This is the kind of person who he is. And so he wanted to celebrate the home run. Maybe he should think more about the cause and effect of what you're doing. The Royals might not be happy about it, but Tim's just going to be Tim. And I'm not going to defend him. I'm not going to say he was right or wrong. I just think he's just being himself, and so is Sal Perez.
Yeah, I think Sal Perez needs to lighten up and quit the old man, get off my lawn bit. Tim Anderson hit a really nice home run. He got really excited, and Sal Perez didn't like that they hit his pitch.
Well, there's a couple.
Pitcher's pitch.
I give him a little bit of, credit. I understand where Sal Perez is coming from because on opening day, Tim Anderson did the same thing. Perez did nothing about that.
Get him out then.
Okay. Right. But then it was a few weeks later, he does it again. That's why Perez was upset. I'm not defending him. I'm just saying I get a little bit more. The Justin Verlander thing makes me even more crazy. Verlander was completely out of line being upset about Tim Anderson stealing a base on a 3-0 count.
But what I can't figure out, though, is it looked like Perez put his hand on, Anderson put his hand on Perez's chest after Perez started talking to him.
Yeah.
Until he put his hand on his chest, I don't see what he did. He clapped his hands and he pointed to the sky. He hit a home run. What's wrong with that?
Right.
I don't get it.
I think it was just that I think he might have sworn. There might have been some profanity.
He was exceptionally demonstrative.
Yes, that's the way to say it.
He's offended by the profanity? Is that what we're saying?
He swore at Perez?
That's ridiculous.
I think this is what's going on here. This is a Kansas City Royals team that might be the worst in the American League. Sal Perez knows what it's like to be on a winning team. This is not one of them. He was upset. He was mad. And he saw Tim Anderson around the bases one more time. And he had his beef, and so did Tim Anderson. So there we go. I don't know.
Well, a bunch of choir boys on the Royals. They don't curse. Holy smokes. Crazy. Let's talk about Kopech.
Okay.
He will pitch today. I talked to Rick Hahn this morning. Well, we want him to continue to work on his control, his command. He had some issues coming out of Glendale. And I'm thinking, yeah, and when is that date for Super 2? And then we can have him here. That's what it's all about, right?
Basically, it's that, and they want him to work on his changeup. And he's barely throwing it. It's not the kind of changeup that they think he should be able to succeed with right now in the major leagues. And I think their feeling is, if you come up right now, yeah, you could be a real good number four starter in the league with what you have, maybe a number three. You throw a changeup into the mix, you're a much better pitcher. Let's have you work on this in the minor leagues where it doesn't matter as much as it does in the major leagues. When you're ready to do that, then we'll bring you up. There might be some financial considerations. I can't speak to that. I do know what he's working on. Actually, he's pitching tonight and leading off for the Gwinnett, they're now called the Stripers, the Braves organization. Jose Bautista leading off against Michael Kopech tonight.
How about that?
Oh, wow. Well, Chuck, what is your sense in terms of how many of these top-level prospects we're going to see this year? Because I know that in the context of this White Sox season, that's all that people care about. I mean, the day-to-day stuff. Most of what people care about.
Right, that's a big thing. It's a big part of it.
We're going to see Kopech, I would assume, at some point.
Yes, June feels right to me for Kopech. Okay. Jimenez is a possibility. I think Zach Collins is a possibility in September. He just won. Got off to a slow start, but he just won the Southern League Player of the Week. There's a lot of talent down there. 2019-2020 is when you see the sheer volume of guys being brought up here. But it's going to be a one-by-one thing for now, I think.
Jimenez feels like a mistake to me before September. He's 20 years old. I mean, it's exciting. Four tools at least. I get all that. I hate that the Cubs had to throw him into that trade. But boy, that seems awfully young. I mean, sometimes these kids do come up and develop bad habits.
The White Sox are not saying we expect him to be up at any point.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do say is some of these guys, Rick Hahn says this many times, sometimes they force the issue.
Mm-hmm.
He has that kind of ability to force the issue. I mean, he got off to a slow start for 3 or 4 games with Birmingham, and now he's got an RBI in like 6 straight games. He's mashing the ball all over the place. So, okay, maybe it's July he's in AAA, or June he's in AAA. if he's doing it up there as well, don't you want to maybe see him play in September in the Major
Leagues? Well, I want to see him in September. I'm saying I'm just saying before then, I think would be crazy.
That's we'll see. I think it's going to be a week-by-week basis with him.
In talking with Rick this morning, we were going over, I said, you know, I was amazed by the number of people I'm friends with who are Sox fans that said...
You have friends who are Sox fans?
My brother.
I know. I've heard about them every week.
They can win 80 to 85 games this year. I said, I just didn't see it. There's no bullpen there. I said, shot or no shot, you're not surprised by what you're seeing. And he said, when you trade away Swarzak, Robertson, Canely, Jennings, Jones is coming off an injury. He goes, and add in all the starting pitching that we traded. He said, it's not surprising. It's very tough.
Right. My feeling was if everything went right, okay, does everything ever go right in a baseball season? No. But if everything went right, they could compete for a wild card.
This year?
This year, if everything went right. Okay, but what's happened so far?
No shot.
If everything went right, everything went right.
Yes, you got no bullpen.
Okay, if the bullpen went right, it could have gone right. You never know.
That'd be like sticking me out there. You got guys that aren't major league relievers yet.
There's some major league relievers in there. There are. Come on.
There was a reason their number was 67.5 in Vegas.
Okay, but you would take the over in the start of the season.
I had it with 70.
Okay, so, but what I'm trying to say is you have Avi Garcia with 3 RBIs. He's on the DL. Miguel Gonzalez has an ERA of 12. Lucas Giolito has an ERA of 7.
Not everything goes right.
So that's what I'm trying to say. That's my point.
All right. You get Chuck tonight on the post game. Sox and Cardinals. Go Sox tonight on NBC
You
Sports
said go
Chicago.
Sox.
Right. Jason and Steve. All right. At the call at the top of the hour.